stretch out, that your skin can bring you so much pain. Now I hear you say, you got the best of both ways. Won't you come and take a walk in my shoes, and tell me if you take my place. Under the cover of my skin,
welcome back to the Inside Running Podcast. My name is Sophie Ryan and I'm joined tonight joined by Ellie Pashley and Sinead Diver. Hi, girls.
Hey, Soph. Hey,
Diver. I'm sitting in the comfort of Ellie and Jose Pashley's living room. Well, Ellie is locked in another room of the house while we do this awkward three-way podcast. Sinead's down in Melbourne. And Elle and I are kicking back in at Elle's place on the surf coast before tomorrow's Lawn Mountain to Surf. How are you, girls? How's your week been?
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, it's been good.
Chugging along.
I'm back to work this week, so it was a bit grim on Monday, but yeah, it's okay now again. Yeah, it's always hard, you know, after you have, like, I had time off over Christmas. So then Monday was my first day back. I was like, oh, but it's okay again now.
Finding the routine again.
Yeah, yeah.
Kids still on holidays, though, so that's probably...
Oh, yeah.
Adds another dimension to it.
Yeah, everything's a bit mental at the moment. So it's just kind of head down, get through this month. And then, yeah, they'll be back to school in February.
Yeah, very good. Well, ladies, we're going to have a bit of a chat about our current training and what we're doing at the moment. And then we've got a barrage of listener questions that have been sent through. Thanks to all our listeners. We probably actually won't get to all of them today. We'll do our best. But there's quite a few and there's some really good conversations to be had from the questions. So thank you, people, for showing some interest and sending them in. And then, that'll generate a lot of good chat, and then Elle and I will have to get off to bed before she whips my butt on a 8K mountain run tomorrow. So,
well, I don't know about that. That's why I took you to that bike tonight to try and wear you out.
What time is the race, girls?
8:30, I think.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
8:30 in the morning. Hey, Diver, I got dropped on a bike ride today. This afternoon, Ellie running dropped me mountain bike riding. Steve Hill. You just think about that for a moment.
That's what happens on Steve Hills. It's always harder to ride up than run up.
No. I got dropped.
I think it is so.
I think it's an all-time, like, a personal low for me. I mean, I'm dealing with it okay, but that's pretty bad.
She was also riding the first 3/4 of the ride on the heaviest possible gear up and down the hill until she worked out how to change the gears on the bike. So
I didn't want to change the gears, so I thought I might break something, so I was like, you're just gonna have to sit in this gear. And I was like, oh my god, I'm getting dropped, this is bad. Anyway, Sinead, kick us off. Do you want to do a week of training starting from maybe last week, Monday through Sunday week?
So Monday the 30th of December.
Yep.
So on Monday I did a 90 minute run. I can't remember why, because normally I do a double run, like I do an hour in the morning and 30 minutes in the evening, but for some reason I must have had something on that evening. I can't remember what it is now, but I did 90 minutes just around Albert Park Lake. On Tuesday then I was at Waverley. We had group training there, and we did 7x1200. And it was mostly at like 78 seconds per lap. But then on some of the reps, we'd have to do the middle lap faster. So around 72, 73. So that was good. I did that session with Charlotte and Andrea. And I'm just trying to think if Susan was there last week. She was there this week. Yeah, I think she was. So we had a good group. And that was a good session. And then, oh, that was New Year's Eve, actually. So then I got another run in the afternoon, a bit earlier than normal, because we had to go to a friend's house for a barbecue, and then we brought the boys to see the fireworks at 9:30, and had a few drinks that night. And then Wednesday, just had 90 again. Actually, Sophie met you that day, and we went, catch up. Yeah. And then we went along the river and a bit around the town, I think. So that was nice, chatting about New Year's and stuff. On Thursday, then, it's threshold. But Nick had myself, Charlotte, and Andrea doing a session, which is like 7x2K with a 30 seconds rest in between and then 1K hard at the end. And he told us to start. The idea was to get faster as we went along. So the first two sets of 2K in like 3:30, the next two in 3:25, the next two in 3:20 or whatever. But myself and Charlotte, in our infinite wisdom, decided we'd start a bit quicker. And we thought it sounded a bit easy. So we started at 3:25 and then I realized, because it was actually really windy that day around the park. And so then once we got to the 3:20s, we were like, oh, maybe we can't go much faster than this. So we still progressed in the session, but didn't get as fast as we should have, I think. Ended up being quite a hard session. It was good. Got it done anyway. And then I did a short run in the afternoon. A bit earlier than normal because I was catching up with a couple of lunatics for some drinks.
Well, lucky is you.
Anybody listening, I was catching up with Sophie now. And then that was good fun. And then on Friday, I had another 90 minutes and was very dusty running around the park. That was a bit of a trudge around the park. I was actually kind of warm, I think, on Friday as well. Then Saturday, we usually go to Wattle Park and we just have this session where we do three laps of the park and there's three big hills per lap. And the idea is to go harder on the hills and then kind of steady on the flat or the downhill. So there was actually a big group of us there this week because everyone had come back from Falls Creek because they had to evacuate because of the fires. So we had a huge group, which was good. And there's actually about four or five Irish over as well. And they're here till end of Feb, I think, or something like that. So, it was a good laugh that day. And then on Sunday, I went to Ferny Creek. Myself and Andrea, we met up with James Coleman and Nathan Pierce and a couple other guys. And we did 2 hours. And it was actually raining and really cold at Ferny on Sunday, which was strange, but
it was, yeah.
Yeah, it was like winter, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like weird. Winter.
Really cold.
Yeah, but that was good. Got that done, and that was it. So I haven't calculated how much that is for the week, but I've been hitting around 160, 170.
Awesome.
So that was, that was around what that was.
Good. Back into it.
Back into it, yeah, finally.
Was Nathan Pierce still buzzing from his Steigen #1 win in the NZ Running Podcast team?
He was, yeah.
Where are you?
About it. Wearing a singlet. No, he wasn't. That was good, actually.
Just going to say, when he got drafted, I was like, oh, where have I heard that name? I don't know where I've heard that name. Like, oh, my God, he's like Diver's training partner.
Oh, yeah, Nick, he helped me out a lot in a lot of sessions on Thursdays.
Yeah,
before I went overseas, before I went to St. Moritz, he was doing some of those big sessions with me, so that was really cool. Yeah, it was really good.
That's a good week. Very solid. Elle, do you want to run us through yours?
Yeah, sure. So I started the week on Monday. I just did 14 Ks in the morning around home. So I ran out the back of Aries and then up over to Moggs Creek, did a little loop. I can't remember, was this day quite hot? I think it was hot. And then I ran back along the beach.
Oh yeah, that was boiling. boiling.
Oh, that's why I only did one run.
Yeah, that makes it. Yeah, you would have run early because it was really hot later in the day.
100%.
I think it was 45 or something down here. So I ran sort of through the rainforest, I think, to try and get a bit of shade and then back along the beach so I could put my legs in the water basically while I ran.
Yeah.
So that was nice. And it wasn't as bad as I was expecting, actually, because I got out a bit earlier than usual, but probably not that early. Tuesday I did hill reps. So I just had some 40-second hills and then some 30-second intervals on the flat as well. So just some speed strength stuff. And then Tuesday afternoon I did a second run, just again out the back in the bush, half an hour easy. Wednesday I did 18Ks, so I ran out from my place to the Currawong Falls Loop, which is a pretty well-known loop here. It's sort of rainforesty and there is a waterfall there which doesn't have any water going over it at the moment. But that was just 18Ks, pretty cruisy pace.
Ella, are you getting all of these like really hilly?
Pretty hilly, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, they are.
If I stay at home, it's usually pretty hilly where I run.
Yeah.
Yeah. And because at the moment I'm not doing any sort of marathon specific stuff or track specific stuff, it doesn't really matter. I'm kind of, I guess, building the base back. So
yeah, I think it's good.
Yeah. Yeah, it is good. I run pretty slow though. I was actually saying that to Soph today. I need to make an effort to probably do a few more flat runs just to not run really slow all the time. But yeah, hopefully it'll be good for me. What day was that? Wednesday. So that was New Year's Day actually. So yeah, I didn't have a very wild New Year's Eve, but I still ran at 3:22 p.m. on New Year's Day. I'm not sure why. I think we went to the beach in the morning because it was really nice weather. And then the 2nd of Jan, which was the Thursday, I just ran 14Ks easy in the morning. Again, I did a little loop. I'm trying a few new loops out. So I ran out Distillery Creek Road and then cut across to Gilbert Street, came back and then along the cliffs in Aries. And one of my friends was down staying at our place, so he jumped on the bike with me, which was really good. Had to wait for him at the top too, so...
Oh, should make a club, me and my mates who just can't ride with Ellie.
Yeah.
Great, this makes me feel so much better.
Nah, it is hard on those heels. Thursday arvo, I was in Melbourne, so I met Soph at the 10 and did a lap and then just a little bit extra along the river, so another half hour easy there. Friday morning, well, I was... very, very rough on Friday. So I woke up really early because I can't sleep in when I've been drinking. And I drove home from Soph's house and I ran along the beach pretty much in the water, like ankle deep water for 8Ks with Luna because the splashing of the water on my legs was the only way I could possibly run. And then I had a longer run to do for my second run and I thought, I'll just wait till after 5 p.m. because usually after 5 p.m. my hangovers are gone. 5 p.m. came and went, still hungover. 10 past 6, I got myself out and ran like it was a very unenjoyable 14Ks. I'd picked the furthest there is in Aries and just like trudged along the road. Yeah, so I got it done. I think I was actually meant to do 16Ks, but I didn't have it in me.
so fair enough.
That happens when you drink with the Irish.
Yeah.
Matt. And then,
am I getting blamed for this?
Yes. alternating champagne and red wine is not a good idea. Saturday morning I had a session which was like pure hell, so I was actually meant to do that Friday but that was definitely not happening, so I did that, pushed it out to Saturday. It was meant to be 2x3k at 3:15 pace and then 4x1k at 3:05 to 3:10 pace, and I got to the track. I was doing it by myself. It was really hot on Saturday morning and I was a little bit I don't know, I was just dreading it. And then Scrivo was actually there with a couple of his athletes, and one of the guys, Cal, didn't want to do what the others were doing, and he said that he would jump in with my session before I'd actually told him what I was doing. Just training for a 10K. And then so that was actually really helpful because, yeah, we kind of just modified the paces a little bit because I knew that I wasn't going to be able to hit them. So the first one was okay. That was like 9:50. So instead of 9:45, it was only 5 seconds off. And then the second one was a bit of a blow up, 10 minutes.
That's a big session, like to do four one days after that as well at 3:05.
Yeah, so the 1Ks, but it's funny after you've done the 3K reps, the 1Ks actually, because I was dreading them after the second 3K, I felt horrible. And then the 1Ks actually weren't as bad. Like I didn't hit the pace. Yeah. They varied from 3:10 to 3:13, but they felt a lot easier almost because they were so much shorter.
Yeah. And
probably running slower than I was meant to.
Still bloody good running, especially when you and one guy on the track.
And yeah, it was. I got it done, which I was pleased with myself for. I'd been dreading it all week, but yeah. Anyway, Jules was fine, like he said. You know, I probably didn't really expect you to hit those paces because they're set for you if you're at your absolute peak. So yeah, that was a good little killer.
What was the total session, including warm-up and cool-down, in kilometres?
Oh, so I warmed up in 4Ks. I cooled down 3Ks. And then it was 10Ks of effort on the track, but then there was walk and jog in between the
reps.
So my watch said I did 12Ks on the track, but that wouldn't be right because my watch is really way on the track. Yeah, so pretty big volume session, but I just did a shorter cool down after that. And then the cool change came through as soon as we finished, which was pretty annoying. 6Ks easy in the afternoon. And then on Sunday we had a good group actually in Torquay. So because the Falls Creek athletes got evacuated, some of them were actually in Janjuk. So we had a few from Aubrey, and then we had Jared Clifford and Tim Logan and another one of their training partners from Melbourne down in Janjuk. So we ran a bit of a loop from Torquay out around Point Addis and then back. So that was 28Ks. That was good.
Oh, cool.
It was really cold too, so it was kind of nice weather.
Yeah.
And then
Jared Clifford's the man of the moment because he's just been on the podcast this week. And if anyone hasn't listened to that episode, definitely have a listen because that's a really great conversation that Brady has with Jared. And, yeah, Elle, I'm sure if you spent two hours with him on Sunday, you would agree with that.
Oh, yeah, he's a really nice guy, and I'm just so impressed by him and the way that he carries himself. And even, like, the way that he runs, we were running on – basically trails the whole time on Sunday, and he it's pretty amazing what he can do with a visual impairment, like the way that his legs work and adapt to the changes in the trail and stuff. Was really impressive to watch. I felt a little bit bad because we tried to keep it as not gnarly as possible, but he did really good, so yeah, it was fun.
Cool. I just started listening to that podcast today, actually. I've only a few minutes into Jared's interview, though, so I'll get it tomorrow.
It's very inspiring. Very inspiring man. So, Elle, what was your total weekly mileage?
I think it was 152, maybe. Oh, 149.7.
Too late to go out for 300 metres.
Yeah. I probably would have if I'd known that. So that's back up there for me as well. So, yeah, starting to feel a bit better. Still feeling a bit shit, but, yeah.
Probably a few of those nights don't help, but that's okay. It's all about balance.
Yeah, this is the off-season. You've got to have a little bit of fun.
It's all about balance. I'll roll through really quickly. Monday morning, yeah, it definitely was that hot day. I met Gemma Maney down in Chelsea and we just ran around Patterson Lake, dead flat. But it was so hot and I reckon after about 40 minutes, like I don't usually check my watch when I'm running, but I was looking at my watch a lot and Gemma and I were just like, yeah, get this done. And then we went and stood in the water. If anyone can hear those birds, they're Ellie's neighbours. They're very chirpy little birds. Bit of background.
That's Charlie and Samantha.
Oh, sorry, Charlie, Samantha. We're just recording a podcast, if you don't mind. Just
pipe down, Charlie and Samantha.
Get in your nest for a little bit, maybe. I'll let you know when we're recording. When the recording's over.
Joseph's magpie friend.
Oh, he's still feeding the magpies. Bloody hell. Joe, stop feeding them.
Walking. They're hungry.
So that was Monday, 13.5K for 1 hour with Gem. Tuesday, I was going to head down and do a session with the group at Hunter, but woke up at 20 past five and I was like, I'm on holidays. I just knew my body needed sleep. So I was like, I'm not going to do that. So I ended up doing, I had in mind that I'd be running mountain to surf this week. So felt a little bit underdone on the hills. So just went out to Yarraben Park and got through 22.5K. Basically, if I found a good hill, I would just do a couple of reps and then just run on, move on to the next one. And so I never look at, I always find it interesting when the guys talk about how many meters of elevation they gain, because I never ever ever look at that. I don't even know what's a lot and what's not, but for this run, which I thought was quite hilly, it was 148 meters. So would that be a lot? I don't know.
How far was your run?
22k elevation gain. Is that not that good? Well, okay. I've just clicked on this like thing on my Garmin Connect and it was like elevation. I don't know, maybe I'll get you to show me.
It might be a bit inaccurate, though. Sometimes the elevation's a bit out of whack.
I tell you, it was a bloody hilly run. But anyway, whatever. Let's not get too caught up in numbers. Wednesday, as Sinead said, we met in the morning. I got through a total of 18K. That was Wednesday morning, New Year's Day. Wednesday night, I've already bored you girls with this story, so I'm just going to say it really briefly. That was the day I went out for a second run. I just wanted to do an easy 5K loop around the river. And that's when I found the guy who was unconscious. So I was just running along. It was right near the Batman Avenue behind Rod Laver Arena, so kind of right near where the Melbourne Marathon starts. And there was no one around. Like, he could have shot a cannon up Batman Avenue. It was really quiet, New Year's Day. It was about 5:30 p.m. And I was just like, oh, my gosh, that's a person against this big, massive bollard. Bollard being like the structure that holds up a bridge. And I went up to him and he was unresponsive and couldn't be roused. And I kind of had all my CPR fresh in my head because I've just redone my certificate. So I just shouted out to this couple who were kind of nearby and got them to come over and we rang an ambulance. But then he came to and he actually stumbled his way up, which was quite a relief that he was fully conscious, but he was definitely quite troubled. And the ambulance said, no, you need the police, not us. And I said, great, can you call the police then? And sure enough, the police came and the man got some help. So that sort of, yeah, just kind of a little bit of hype in the middle of my run. And then kept going, got home. That was fine. Thursday was back on Kew Boulevard. So again, I was just trying to get some more hills in. I just did out and back 18K at 4:15 pace. So I was sort of really trying to clip along a bit because hilly run at 4:15 is me kind of going quite solidly. That was actually 16K. Yep, 16K. Cool. And that was then met Ellie, as she said, met Elle at the tan. I did 6.5K total. Then these girls just tore me to shreds Thursday night. I don't know. I thought I could keep up, but I'm lacking in stamina in all areas compared to you two. Friday morning, I was definitely struggling a little bit, but I got out for 14K, pretty slow. And that was quite warm, but that was just along the river. So 14K Friday morning, as Josh said to me, if you're going to party with the girls, you need to rise like a lady. And I was like, okay, well, I don't feel like a lady right now. I feel like trash. Anyway. And then Saturday morning was my first sort of key workout, really, because Tuesday and Thursday had just been sort of hilly runs. But I met a great little group down at Port Melbourne Yacht Club. Hazy was there. We started off with Riley Wolf, Sarah, and also Millie, two of the girls from Hunter. And the boys came with us for the first, we just did a 20-minute warm-up, and then we were going to do 4 2-kilometre efforts with 1K jog. So we got all the way out to Brighton, so Port Melbourne to Brighton and spun around. And we were running the 2K efforts around 3:50 pace and just trying to manage the really alternating headwind. Like, it literally was like headwind one rep and then kind of a crosswind the next, but we're going in the same direction. So that kind of threw us a little bit. But it just, it meant that you couldn't get too, I don't know, like disengaged with heading in one direction, because it was almost like, look, the next rep could be something different. So that instead of heading south and thinking, oh my gosh, I've got a headwind the whole way, it was like, no, just get through this rep because the next rep could be different. But I thought it was a really hard session. It was getting really warm. It was pretty smoky. It was actually a bit of a grind, but it was good. We did 20.2k in total, and then big group.
Oh, that's a big session.
Yeah, it was good. It was a really good workout. 424 k pace for the whole session. But yeah, the efforts were just around 3:50, which was felt like more than that. I felt like I was working a lot harder than that. But you know, that's what we got. And then we're in the water in Port Melbourne. I didn't end up doing a Saturday afternoon run. I just canned that and then got out for 25.5K on Sunday. And as we've all acknowledged, it was nice and cool and a little bit rainy and lovely conditions. And that was a total of 142K for the week, which I've decided that'll be my donation, which I'm just going to bring up what Dave McNeil initiated last week. Dave, who's always at the forefront of great ideas and generosity. For those who haven't seen what he's put out on social media, hashtag K's for bushfires, encouraging people to donate in money the amount that they've run for the week. So if you've run 100 K's for the week, donate $100. And this week for me is going to be a bit lighter because just freshening up a little bit for a race and a little bit smoke affected. So I'm going to use last week because that was relatively good mileage for me, 142. So yeah, I think now might be a nice little time to just slot in that we'd love the whole of the Inside Running podcast community to get behind this incredible initiative that Dave put out. It's not difficult to just log your K's and make a small donation to the Red Cross or one of the you know, amazing charities that's doing such incredible work for the people who so desperately need it. And yeah, I know we sort of all get caught up in our little running bubble at times, but I know you girls fully support me when I say, you know, we really extend our sympathies and our positive vibes and our strength to all those Australians out there doing it so tough at the moment.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely. Great initiative by Dave, and yes, I think there's a few tough days coming for parts of Victoria and New South Wales, so
yeah.
And probably other areas in Australia as well. So hopefully it, I guess, doesn't eventuate as they're worried it might.
And I think
we said all strengths.
Just to, like, as well, like, it was great that Dave came up with this because it's something really easy that we can do. Like, everyone kind of wants to help and do something, and often you're like, well, you know, what can we do, whatever. But so I think it was a really great idea. I'm really delighted that he came up with the idea.
Yeah. And as we keep hearing from media reports and everything, you know, donated goods have been super helpful, but they are actually, they're saying the instruction that we're receiving is the financial assistance is what they're asking for at the moment. And so yeah. I think, you know, this is, it's not always, people aren't always in a position to be able to respond in that way, but this is something that's really easy to digest. And yeah, helplessness is such an awful feeling in these sorts of times when all we can do is watch and listen and feel worried. But this is so achievable for the running community. So I reckon everybody get behind hashtag K's, KMS, K kilometres for bushfires. All right, ladies, what do you reckon? Get into some listener questions.
Yep, go for it.
Cool. Okay. Listeners, we're not going to get through all of them. We're going to do our best. So a question in from Christy. Sinead Diver, I'm going to hit you with it first. What is your all-time favourite place to run and why?
I think it would have to be in St. Moritz, just because it was it's so beautiful there, and it was my first time there this year, and I wasn't working and stuff, so I had more time to kind of explore. And Jules took us on like lots of really cool trails for running, so we went like somewhere different almost every day, which was really, really cool. So I loved that run, or those runs in St. Moritz. Even though I love running in Melbourne, I kind of tend to do the same loops all the time. Like I'm always around Albert Park or the Tan or Ferny Creek. And I really love them, but then I kind of get fed up with them after a while. But I do, when I leave Melbourne and like if I'm away for a few months and then I come back, I kind of realize how lucky we are here. Like there's so many places to run that you don't have in other cities. So, but my all-time favorite would have to be St. Moritz.
Good answer. Ellie, what would you say to that question?
Yeah, this is probably quite boring, but I'm going to have to agree with Sinead. It's just when you're – the trails there are so beautifully groomed, and everywhere you look, it's you're just looking up at these mountains that we kind of don't have that same snowy peak, high mountain landscape here in Australia, and it's just unbelievable with the lake below it and the colour of the water. And yeah, that was definitely the best place I've ever been for running. And then, I mean, this is giving another answer which isn't really what she asked, but when I'm at home, my favourite place to run is just on the Surf Coast Walk between Torquay and Anglesey, that goes along the cliffs. It's just beautiful. And if you get it on a nice day, the views are spectacular, and it's just sort of undulating trail the whole way. And yeah,
how far does it go for?
Torquay to Anglesey is about 17-18 k's.
Oh, perfect.
And you can do a loop and come back the top way. We ran on part of it actually when you were down in Anglesey last summer.
Oh yeah.
It's really, really nice. I never ever get sick of it. So
yeah.
A little bit more achievable for some of the Australian runners than the
If you don't go to St. Moritz, just go to
like St. Moritz or Torquay, you know.
The coffees are cheaper in Torquay than they are in St. Moritz.
Yeah.
200%.
Inga Britons are maybe a little bit more confirmed for one location than the other, but you never know. I mean, these people can be seen floating around Torquay, Anglesey, Belfeet, I mean.
Yeah.
Just depends on what time of the year it is. Okay, this is actually a great question. It comes from Matt.
What's your favourite place to run, Sophie?
Oh, my favourite place? Probably the Boulder Creek Trail. So it's just when you're in Boulder downtown and you just go along the creek and it stretches for miles and miles, and it's very, very flat, but you're already running at altitude, so it's kind of never feels easy. And it's great for workouts and it's good for easy runs, and it was wherever I was living, it was always easy to get to. And I used to always look forward to it. It's really shady. So probably the Boulder Creek Trail in Boulder would be my favourite for sure.
Cool.
Matt asks, how is the smoke affecting their training at the moment? Ellie?
Yeah, we've been really lucky down here. The only smoky day that we had was Monday, and it wasn't anything like a lot of other parts of Victoria and New South Wales. So it hasn't actually changed anything, because I ran early Monday morning before it came in. I haven't had to go to a treadmill or anything yet. And the air quality, I've been using the app, the Plume app, to check the air quality, but so far I've been lucky. And it was a little bit smoky on Tuesday morning for a session, but not bad enough to make us postpone it or anything like that.
Yeah. Sinead, you've run outside every day this week, haven't you?
Yeah. Like it was only really smoky on Monday. Like it was really bad on Monday. But by the time I'd kind of really thought that it might be an issue, I'd already kind of done my run. I didn't really think about going to a treadmill or anything. But I probably would, like if it was become more consistent, like the air quality was bad. But this week, I've just continued as normal.
Yep. I did my, I wasn't going to do a second run on Monday night, so that wasn't an issue. Monday morning, I thought it was completely fine. But Monday night, I was like, this is really bad. And I was on the Plume app. And then I just, I don't know, I just, it was something about Tuesday. And we do have a gym in the apartment complex we live in. And I thought, for the ease of just getting on a treadmill, I think I'm just going to do it. Which I didn't really need to, but I did it. So Tuesday morning was 8K on the treadmill, and that I've decided that is my absolute limit on a treadmill, like 8K. That's it. Game over. I don't know if it's psychological. It's
It's so much harder.
Do you have TV screens or anything on your treadmills?
Yep, got a TV, got it all, and I was not interested at all. And I was just like, look at what these people are going through, Sophie. The treadmill is not that bad. Look at what these poor communities are going through. That didn't work. Nothing worked. I was just, oh, my God, it was unbearable. And I just need to really just harden up a bit. And so, and then I did 6K Tuesday Arvo again, treadmill. And I was really heavy, like so heavy in the legs on Wednesday when I went back outside. Really, really, really fatigued in the legs from an 8K. Like, ridiculously, you would have thought I'd done a 24K run with a heavy workout in it the day before.
I just,
I was just really, really heavy in the legs, lethargic. I just felt crap on Wednesday morning, and I, there's no reason except that it was the treadmill.
It's really interesting because some people find it easier running on treadmill as far as they can actually run at a faster pace, whereas I find the complete opposite. I find it really hard.
Find it really hard.
I'm the same. I can't go fast at all, like as fast as I can on the road. I just find it. Yeah, my legs are spinning or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I just committed to myself. I thought, look, if the air quality is really bad, I'm just not going to risk it, because it's, you can often feel fine in your run when it's a bit smoky, but you feel it very lethargic, sometimes the onset of a headache, and just don't feel well afterwards. So I was like, if I'm going out in the morning and the air is really bad, I'm probably going to get to 11 o'clock at work and feel terrible. This was me forecasting that it's going to be horrible when actually the week has been quite reasonable. In fact, it hasn't been bad at all in Melbourne. But I was just thinking, it's not so much how you feel when you run, it's sometimes the repercussions or how you feel a few hours later. And I was just kind of forecasting that. Now, I don't know that because I've never really run in smoky conditions, but I have heard people say you can get very lethargic, onset of headaches. I mean, we know it's terrible for your lungs, but you don't feel those symptoms. I think in the grand scheme of everything that is going on and what some communities in Australia are grappling with, you know, it has been, it's been quite amazing in Melbourne this week. But I do think everybody, I got that Plume app from Julian, and they posted that on Running Company Ballarat, and it's a really good app. So if people don't have it, download it, and it will tell you about the air quality. And then down the bottom, it's got a recommendation for whether or not to take it easy or take care or go for it in terms of activity. So I think that's something we should all be watching pretty closely. And if it's bad next week, I am, as much as I hate it, I'm probably going to go on the treadmill again.
Yeah, I probably will.
Yeah.
I don't think the risks are worth, I don't think it's worth it. I don't think one run here and there is worth it to risk your health, to be honest.
I wonder what it's like in comparison to smoking a cigarette.
I've wondered that. I've totally
like running 6Ks in the smoke versus, is that like 3 cigarettes or?
I don't know.
I would really like to know that. Yeah. I'll do some research this week for you, Elle.
Okay.
Okay. I've got a lot of spare time. I can research this thing. Okay. Steph asks, Sinead. So how was Sinead's recovery from New York? Going by social media, it seems she's back on the track. Will she run track races over summer?
Oh, Steph, yeah. It took me longer after New York, I think, than any other marathon for my legs to come good again. Like, normally after a marathon, like, my legs are pretty smashed up in the first week, and then I come good, and after 2 weeks, I'm keen to get back training, but I have to hold myself back. But after New York, my legs were hammered. Like, and I think it was because it's so hilly and I think the road surface is harder as well. Like, yeah. Even during the race, I actually thought in my head, oh my God, my legs are really getting smashed in this race. And I never ever think of that when I'm in a race. And then Elle, you saw me the week after, the few days after, I was struggling to walk around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen anyone that bad walking after a marathon.
Yeah. My quad just kept giving way. I was like, oh my God, I hope I haven't injured myself. Luckily, I didn't, but it did take a full month for me to feel like I should, okay, I can start getting back into sessions now. And then even after that, like, maybe because I had the full month, I didn't have it off. I had 9 days fully off and then just easy running. And then I felt really unfit for a few weeks. And I know that kind of happens anyway, but it just, yeah, I think only now I'm starting to come good, really. As for track races, probably not. I don't have any penciled in. I'm probably just going to focus on road races the next few months. I don't think I'll do any track. I haven't any planned anyway.
Now might be a nice time, and the question comes up a bit later, but we might as well slot it in. Girls, what's your next? So what are we now at the start of January in terms of February and March? Do you girls have any races plugged in that you want to share with people at the moment?
Well, we both kind of have a similar schedule coming up. Do you want to go through it, Al?
Yeah, sure. So we're pretty much doing all the same races again like last year.
Because they're Thai meets.
Because I just copy what Shania does every time.
Connected at the hip joint.
It's good fun.
So on February the 2nd, we're going to go to Japan and race the Marigami half marathon there, which Sinead did last year. Yeah, she had a really good run there last year, broke 69 minutes. So
I did say I wasn't going to do this race again because there's so much travel to get there. But here I am, signed up again.
Yeah. It's a little bit different, isn't it, though, the way we're getting there this time to how you guys got there?
Yeah, I think so. So it's not going to be as bad. We had a lot of buses and trains and stuff to get. There was just so much travel, whereas I think, yeah, it's a bit better this year.
Actually, Ellie and I have often said, we often say this behind your back, Sinead, we're like, Sinead, she never whinges. She never whinges about anything. She never whinges about her training or her life. And Ellie, she whinged about this. She 100% whinged last year. She bitched to me about the travel and the transit getting to Marigami.
And it must have been bad.
It must have been real bad.
Yeah.
She just gets on with the job. She never whinges. Nope, she whinged. 100%. And I'm
still whinging about it.
Never gonna go back there. Anyway, it's all right. It's all in, you know.
It'll
maybe it'll be fine. You'll have Ellie this time. So that's the second of Feb.
Yeah. So that will be, I guess, for both of us, really our first race after New York, and even it feels a little close. But maybe we'll start feeling a bit better by the end of Jan. And then we're both going back to Japan again at the start of March to pace the Nagoya Marathon, the women's marathon. So that was the one that I raced last year and Sinead paced to 30Ks. So this year we're not sure what distances or paces or anything we'll be doing yet. But Sinead and Charlotte and I think are going to be pacing that one at this stage. So that should be fun. Pacing's fun. Awesome. It's sort of like racing, but there's a little bit of pressure, but not as much. And then you get to pull out and you don't have to run a whole marathon. So,
yeah, cool.
Yeah, it'll be really fun.
And it's a great race.
Yeah, exactly. A different kind of pressure, but it's enjoyable. Yeah. And you get to it feels like you're winning because you get to run at the front of the pack.
Julian will be hot on his, they're at the front of the pack just for their Instagram snaps.
Like, yeah.
Just wait for it. Everyone already forecast his predictions and his wash up.
He loves Instagram deep down.
I think it'll actually be good for you having already run Nagoya just to be a little bit familiar with the course.
Yeah, I think
stretches, so. Even that first 10-15K when you're like, where are we going?
I feel like I can't remember the first 10 or 15K. I was just zoned out behind Sinead.
Actually, last year I was worried about that because if I was leading, like, I'd have to know where I was going. And I'm not great
with direction.
No, but I had tape on my hand and I drew out, like, the corners on the course. So, like, say, after 10K, there's two right turns or two left turns or whatever. And I found that really useful. So I just have a glance at that anytime I wasn't sure. Because I wanted to take you guys on the shortest route on the course as well.
Yeah.
So knowing the turn.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, so that actually worked really well. So I might do that again this year because I've kind of forgotten the course again. But I'm sure this will be my third time on it now. So it'll probably be more familiar this year.
This girl takes pacing very seriously. That's good to see.
Yeah. I should have done that because I paced Osaka last year and I had no idea of the course. And there were a few times where you sort of drift to one side of the road.
Yeah.
And then I'd see up ahead the car turn, you know, to the other direction or something. And then because you're leading them, you don't want to just duck across. You've sort of got to,
And the roads are quite wide gradually. As well.
Yeah. Oh, they're so wide, aren't they?
Yeah.
Hang on. Do the people of Nagoya realize that you two were leading the New York Marathon and you took a wrong turn and got stuck under a bloody...
Yeah. Let's tell them... Not tell them to watch
if that's
that.
Fresh on the CV, I hope they're not looking over the CV because there's a lot of footage in the big wide world of you two getting lost on a call.
I'm actually surprised we're getting this gig after that.
And Char will be looking for direction because she hasn't done it. Nah, you'll be fine. Very good. Two in Japan, fire away.
Japan, and then we're not sure. Well, I've nominated, and I think, have you nominated already, Sinead, for World Half Champs?
Yeah.
So the World Half Champs is in Poland at the end of March. So Sinead and I did the last one together in Valencia in 2018, was it that long ago? It must have been. That was really fun. So that would sort of be a good, a good lead-in race to some other races that we might do later in the year. And, yeah.
Awesome.
So that part we don't know yet because they haven't selected the team. And I don't know when it's being selected. It might not be for another month or so.
Yeah.
So once we know about that, we can plan a bit more.
Well, there you go, listeners. You heard it there first. Sinead and Ellie, first quarter of 2020, two races in Japan. And a half marathon representing Australia in Poland.
Well,
hopefully.
Question mark over that one. Mark, yeah.
Newsbreaker over here. Who says we're not journalists? Okay. Hayley wants to know, although they are at the super elite end of races, do they still have bucket list races they would like to do for fun and not absolutely bury themselves in? Okay. Bucket list races. Well, at the moment, you two have a very set strategy that's geared towards goal races and goal championships like the Olympics and the stepping stones that are required to get to those. So bucket list races are more like, you know, the 600-track marathon or...
Yeah. I'd love to, like, take off all the major marathons, but I would like to do them competitively. So I'd still, I'd like to do them, race them. But I love the idea of, I haven't picked out any bucket list races, but I love the idea of when I'm not racing competitively anymore, like traveling the world and just going to races just for the sheer enjoyment of it without the pressure of times and placing. So I quite look forward to that. But I haven't picked out any specific races.
Yep. Elle, do you have bucket list races?
I mean, for me, probably up. Before November last year, New York was always one that I really wanted to do. And one that I haven't done would be the Boston Marathon as well. But similar to Sinead, I sort of – Hayley's question asks if we would not absolutely bury ourselves in them, but I sort of want to race them and bury myself in them. So I would like to do Boston while I'm still running competitively. That's probably the main – one for me. And then I guess, when I retire, whether I try some different things like ultras or trail or something like that. But I don't know. I can't imagine I'm a bit too competitive to just want to cruise around. I think I would still be, yeah, trying to race the people around me, no matter what my level of ability was at that time. But, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, that's a good answer. And then this absolute joker, Romeo the Moose, wants to know, what is the most annoying trait of a training partner?
Go, Sinead.
I do have a couple, actually. Of not a couple of annoying training partners, but in the past.
Some of them
training
too.
Partners in the past. But I hate when a training partner uses you as a pacer for the session and then in the last rep, like, tries to blast around you. It just drives me insane.
Yeah.
So that they, like, they sit behind you for the whole session and then try and, like, knock you off at the very end. So I don't like that at all.
Yeah.
I think I
conserve,
feel like...
Conserve, conserve.
Yeah. Conserve, conserve, and then just go around you and floor it. I think if you're training together, you should, like, take turns leading and that kind of thing. And then another one is if you just finish a session and then... the person that you were training with is like, oh, that was just so easy. And, like, during the training session, you could hear them huffing and puffing and, like, busting a gut throughout the whole session. And then they're just saying, oh, that was so easy. I could, like, I could do that again. I could just do that times two. And you're like.
Well, you probably wouldn't because I could hear you and.
Yeah. And you didn't lead. So.
Yeah. And also, what's wrong with admitting that it was really bloody tough and that took you to the ground?
Who finishes a session and goes, well, that was easy? Like,
yeah, I was trying to rack my brains to think if I've ever heard anybody say that.
Yeah.
I can think of someone.
All right, you girls go. What's the most annoying trait?
For me, it's the half-wheeler. So the person who just sits half a wheel in front of you, well, you know, just 20 to 30 centimetres in front of you and just almost sort of looks back to speak at you and keeps pushing the pace. It drives me insane. And I have run with a number of serial half-wheelers in my time, which might be because I'm slow or they just, you know, love the competitive edge. I think there's an element of sometimes within these people, they are actually quite insecure and they need to feel like they're in front. It's also a control thing. They need to feel like they're controlling the pace. And I went through a phase of running with people who would half wheel and I never had the confidence to actually say, you're just going a bit quick. Could we just slow down a bit? In my head, I was like, I'm too slow. I don't want to hold them back. I don't want to stuff up their run. Let them run. So I'd end up going faster and faster and faster on these easy runs, deep down knowing we're going way too quick and this is a recovery run and there's no need to run this pace. But I didn't have the confidence to just say, hey, can we just dial it back a bit? And you all actually don't need to sit kind of in front of me. You can just run with me. And now, like, if someone was to do it, I'd just be like, hey, just roll back. Like, you've been a dickhead. You don't need to run like that. And so I reckon there's people
I was getting worried
there.
About Wednesday runs there, so for a second.
No, you're good. I do watch you closely, I have to say. We do get rolling around the back of the tan where it starts, but I usually feel pretty good, like I'm okay around there. But you never half wheel. Sometimes you start to pick up a little bit, but that's just because I know you're fit. But you don't go... Like, you're not running, you know, we're not running 4-minute K pace. It might be low fours sometimes, 4.10s, 4.15s. Bit quick for me, but that's okay. But I kind of get rolling. It's kind of a nice tempo. That's okay. I'm talking about, like, when you're on a really quite a designated easy run and that person sits off the front of you and almost, you know, like, cocks their head to kind of talk back at you. It drives me insane.
This is exactly what I do to Jose every time.
Oh, so with Josh, if I do that, he just won't come. So I have to intentionally sit off the back of him. So I'm like, oh, see, you're in front. You're in front. It's very psychological. But
the problem is when you're half wheeling someone, if you try to slow down a bit to get back in line with them, then they slow down as well.
I know. They,
and then what are you going to do?
Yeah. or you just sit ever so slightly off them, they get a bit of confidence, and sometimes they're like, oh, geez, I'm doing all right. I'm okay. And they start to roll. I've practiced this a lot with different paced people. But I reckon if people are like me and never wanted to say anything, come to kind of some sort of like rough agreement with someone at the start of the run. So agree, yep, cool, it's an easy run. We're just going to run like 4:45 pace or 5:15 pace or whatever. And if they are going quicker, just say to them, oh, hey, you know, do you mind just dialing back and let's stick to what we talked about? And then it's kind of, it's not that you're calling them out on it, but you're just doing what you agreed on. Because I think for some people, they don't even realize they're doing it. It's like a subconscious, I think it's a bit of a control thing. So anyway, it drives me nuts. And I always try very consciously to not. And that's why sometimes when I run with people like you, Sinead, I'll be like, are you sure this pace is okay? Like, are you happy with this pace? Because I don't want to slow you down. And I don't want to feel bad for slowing people down, but don't freaking run off the front of me. Anyway, someone might have overthought this question a little bit.
All right, Elle, you're up.
Elle, yeah, any other
I don't think that things annoy me that much, but I think it's probably because I probably do the annoying things that annoy other people.
No.
Like not leading reps and stuff. That's probably me. That's not true. But one training run where I did get really annoyed was with Jared McMullen, who is probably also my favorite training partner, but I'll name names.
This guy gets thrown under the bus so much on this podcast, and he's such a nice guy.
Yeah, I know. Well, questionable. But I had to do 3 12K loops around the Yu Yangs Great Circle Drive, which is a gravel road that kind of climbs up and down a bit. And they had to get faster each one. And Jared only had to do 2 with me, I think. So he started like really pushing the pace on his second one, because then he knew that he got to drop out and I had to run faster on the third one. Ooh. And yeah, I was pretty mad that day. He was like really testing me. Like basically we were running as hard as we could on the second lap.
Oh god.
And then he was just like, okay, see ya. I'm done. Now you've got to do another 12 Ks and run 36. Yeah, so that's the only time I've really got annoyed in training, I think. Oh, sometimes actually once in St. Moritz I got annoyed at Julian because he was telling me to run faster and I was really tired. You know when you're really tired and someone tries to, like, they're trying to be helpful, but it's a bit,
When if you've crossed that line where you're kind of about to blow up or blowing up and someone tells you to go a bit faster, it's like, nah.
Yeah, just try and get up a little bit now for the last couple of Ks. You're like, So, yeah, but most of my training partners are good.
Most of them. Girls, we're going to wrap up soon because I'm getting really anxious about my big race tomorrow against Ellie. I need my beauty sleep. No, I'm not actually anxious about that. But anyway, so Christian from Norway. Christian, we have answered your question. We got a lot of time for you, Christian, and we've seen your question, but we have answered it, which was what are the lead-up races to the Olympics? At the moment, the two girls – Sinead and Ellie are just looking at the first quarter. So we did answer that. Sinead, very quickly, will you be back on Strava? This guy's from Turkey. This person asked, he's from Turkey. We need to answer that. Will Sinead get back onto Strava?
Yeah, so I was on Strava for New York and then I kind of stayed off it for a while because I wasn't really doing anything and never got back into it. But I'm back this week since Dave's initiative. So I'm logging my Ks on Strava for the kilometers for bushfires. So I'll be on it for this week anyway. And then I'll see you after that.
Very good. And just very quickly, what is the shortest, in brackets, fastest session you would do in a 10-kilometer build-up? Would you do 200-meter or 300-meter reps fast, or is it not specific enough? What is their 100-meter PB? Oh, my gosh.
Wow. No idea.
200s and 300s, I'd say yes, definitely. That's not too short. So, yep, definitely my 200s are not quick, nor are my 300s. But, yeah, I definitely get down to doing 200-meter reps or 300-meter reps and would quite often do 200 meter reps after doing, say, a bunch of 400 meters. So be it 6 fours or 8 fours or something, and then 200s to finish off. Elle, you definitely do a session of 300 meter reps, don't you?
Yeah, we do. We do 300 meter reps every now and then. Usually it would be after a recovery block from a marathon when we're trying to get a bit of speed back. But not that often, and I would very rarely do 200s. We tend to probably do longer reps most of the time, but yeah, occasionally 300s or 400s, and 100 meter PB, absolutely no idea. It would have been probably within a 400 meter rep. And it would not be fast. It would be probably no faster than my 400 meter pace.
Yeah,
because by the time I got going for 100 meter, actually it would probably be slower because, yeah, building up to top speed.
And imagine if it was like a block start where you're starting crouching, you're taking 15 minutes to get up.
Yeah, that would be quite embarrassing.
Sight for sore eyes. Sinead, do you guys get down to twos and threes? Do you do shorter stuff?
No, I think, I don't know if I've ever done twos or threes, but the shortest we would do really is 400.
Yeah.
So I've actually no idea what even my 400 meter flat out, if I did one, I don't know what that would be, because we do 400 meter reps, but they're in a session. So you're doing like 10 of them or 12 of them. I've no idea really.
Could you run under 60 seconds for a 400?
No.
No, me either.
That I do know.
No way.
No.
65? Yeah.
That would probably be about my PB, I reckon.
Yeah, same.
That's very fast. Anyway, girls, on that note, let me just, look, we have left out a few questions, but we've done, I reckon, pretty well, and we'll jump back on in the not-too-distant future and finish off some of these questions and hopefully get some more. So thanks for the chat, ladies.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Sue. Thanks, Sinead.
Good to chat. Ellie, just emerge from the bedroom and I'm just sitting here on your couch. And Diver, I'll see you back in Melbourne over the next few days.
Oh, cool. Good luck tomorrow, girls.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. We'll need it.
I think Ellie is going to break her record and
save the fifth. I don't think so.
We'll be back to report.
Not die in the first 2Ks. That's the...
Good luck to anyone doing mountain to surf or even pier to pub.
Yeah.
Cool. See you, ladies. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, guys.